was very, very cold. Today we are already warmer than we were all day yesterday, even though it's been filtered sunshine today. And we're already up into the mid-40s, and we're looking at low 50s this afternoon, so a good day. And we have a good program for you as well today. We're going to be talking in just a couple of seconds with Shelley Somariva, director of St. Barnabas Charities. And later on the program today, we'll be chatting with Stan Kosciuszko, the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce and one of the top Sandler trainers in the country. His name is Dan Udock. He'll be with us later as well. But first of all, let's say hello to Shelley Somariva. Shelley, how you doing? It's Dave Malarkey here. Hello? I thought we had Shelley on the phone there, but I guess maybe we don't. I don't know. We must have lost the connection. Well, we're awaiting her call. Shelley Somariva, the director of St. Barnabas Charities. We had a call there, but then we must have lost it. Hello, is this Shelley?
Hi, Dave. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Oh, that's quite all right. I thought we had you there a couple of seconds ago, but we must have had a bad connection or something. Well, I'm glad to have you with us. As I mentioned a couple of seconds ago, Shelley Somariva is the director of St. Barnabas Charities, and we want to talk about that, the fine work that that foundation does, and also about some of the events coming up in the near future. In fact, you have one of your biggest coming up just a little later this month, don't you, Shelley?
That is correct. We have our signature event for the year. It's a fundraising dinner. We hosted an event. It's going to be on April 25th. That's a Thursday. It's our Founders Day celebration, and that's when we honor the founder of St. Barnabas. That's Brother Gouverneur Hans. And so it's a great day to bring our sponsors and donors out to raise money for the Free Care Fund.
And you've had a lot of pretty well-known speakers over the years. Who's it going to be this year?
This year, our Hans awardee, each year we present the Hans Award for our founder. And this year, receiving that honor is going to be Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a commentator on Fox News, I think, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are there still tickets available for that, or is that all sold out?
There are still tickets available, and they can call our office to purchase tickets. You can go online to our website, which is stbarnabascharities.com. And so, you know, just give us a call, and we'd be happy to help.
Will she also be visiting at St. Barnabas at some of the facilities as part of the day?
No, unfortunately, she's not able to do that this year. So we'll be seeing her at the Marriott. So the fundraising dinner takes place at the Pittsburgh Marriott North, which is in Cranberry Township, right off of 228, really just a short drive from Butler.
This event has been held for quite a few years, hasn't it?
It is. Had our first Hans Award, which was back in 1980, with our first speaker, was Gilbert Love. And so we've been holding that event since 1980.
Gilbert Love, I didn't know that that was the
mm-hmm.
first awardee. He was a well-known writer, I believe, for either the Pittsburgh Press or the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I forget which one.
Pittsburgh Press.
Well, that goes back mm-hmm. a ways. Yeah. Well, 1980. Yeah. That's, 30, almost 40 years ago. Wow.
Correct.
We've had a great
list of Hans awardees, and so we're very lucky to be able to honor each of them. You know, our list goes back to, you know, Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers. We've had Barbara Bush receive the award. We have had Michael Reagan, Chuck Yeager, Debbie Reynolds. We had Dr. Charles Krauthammer. So we've had a pretty prestigious list of Hans awardees.
One of the people that I remember is Steve Allen, the late Steve Allen, who was the original mm-hmm. host of The Tonight Show long ago. Very talented man, very talented mm-hmm. songwriter. A lot of people didn't realize that. Well, it's a good day. It's a great dinner. It's a great opportunity to see these pretty famous people. And also the Hans Award will be awarded. This is in honor of the founder of St. Barnabas, and that was Brother Gouverneur Hans. Do you know when he founded St. Barnabas, Shelley?
I do. It was in 1900. 119 years ago, yes.
Wow. You'll be having your 125th anniversary before too much longer.
Huh? I know. Wow. We've had amazing growth here at St. Barnabas. As you know, you've been with us much of the journey, so we thank you and the station for your support. But, yeah, we have a lot happening. A lot of exciting things are happening here at St. Barnabas.
When Brother Gouverneur Hans founded St. Barnabas, it wasn't where it is now in the Gibsonia area. I think it was in the city of Pittsburgh somewhere, wasn't it?
It was. It was right on the south side. That's where it first began in a church army and the Trinity Cathedral in Pittsburgh, but then it moved to the south side of Pittsburgh on Sydney Street. Hmm. And it had moved several times since then, and before settling here in Gibsonia.
Well, always with the mission of providing compassionate care, regardless of the ability to pay. And that's where the Free Care Fund comes in, and the events that you hold throughout the year, St. Barnabas Charities holds throughout the year, supports the Free Care Fund. Have you ever sat down with an adding machine and tried to figure out how much care you've provided over the years, Shelley?
Oh, it's, each year it's has grown. It grows each year. We typically average around $7 million a year in free care. And as you know, those costs, continue to increase every year. And that's why it's so important that we hold these events. And, we hold these fundraising events. There's many ways people can donate to help support the Free Care Fund and the patients and residents who live here at St. Barnabas. So we appreciate everyone's support.
Well, if you're not able to go to the event coming up, the Founders Day dinner and talk, you can make a donation, right?
That is correct. You can certainly donate to St. Barnabas, the Free Care Fund, anytime throughout the year. In lieu of, we have some nice different ways to just support this event in particular. So if you cannot come to the event, but you would still like to support this event, you can make just a general donation. There's a online form on our website. You can, if you're on your phone and you want to make a mobile donation, you can certainly just text the word give, G-I-V-E, to 41444, and that will help you make a donation that way. It's pretty easy. You can mail us a check. And if you'd like to make a donation to maybe send a veteran or one of our residents to attend our event, you can make your donation in that way as well.
Are there other events that St. Barnabas Charities holds throughout the year other than the upcoming Founders Day activities?
There certainly are. We host two golf opens, and they both take place at Conley Resort and Golf Club in Butler. And the first one will be held on June 3rd, and then we have another one in the fall, and that is on September 20th. Mm-hmm. And then in between those, we have a 5K, and that takes place on our Gibsonia campus. And then in the fall, we host a Ladies' Day Out. So we have five events this year.
Let's talk a little bit about St. Barnabas Health System. You're spread out now in a number of different locations, right? It's no longer just right there in Gibsonia.
Correct. We have campuses now in, of course, our Butler County representation there with the golf courses and our Valencia Woods skilled facility. So we're in Butler County, we're in Allegheny County, and now we've moved for some time, a couple years now. We're now in Beaver County.
You have a residential facility in Beaver County?
The Beaver County is Beaver Meadows, and that is a living assistance facility. there. And then we also have an operation that with the Tusca Plaza and, you know, looking to be able to expand in the Beaver area that way.
Mm-hmm. So you've had quite a bit of growth over the last few years, huh?
We have. It's exciting. It's very exciting times here. We look forward to, you know, moving into those new areas in Beaver County, working with the community there, you know, being able to participate and help those in that area as well.
You also have business operations that help to support the Free Care Fund, right?
That is correct. That's correct. We have some unique ways that we raise money. We also have a full-service auto repair operation in Gibsonia. And then what we have to being able to resell some of the furniture that we have donated is we have two stores, furniture at the firehouse and the general store. And those are both here in Valencia. And so we take donations of, you know, gently used items, home decor, furniture, and then we sell them, and we're able to generate proceeds that way to help the Free Care Fund.
What was the first building in the Gibsonia area? That's the, and I don't know how you refer to it, it's the big multi-story one, kind of the main building there.
Oh, the Village. The village at St. Yes. Barnabas. Mm-hmm. That is, we have 252 independent living apartments located there in Gibsonia. It's on Meridian Road. And people, you know, live there independently. We have a beautiful indoor mall. If the weather's bad, people really don't need, our residents don't need to leave. There's restaurants there. There's delicious food. We have a post office. A hair salon, and
there's a pub down there. I was taken through that one time a few years ago. It's down in the lower level of the Village, and my goodness, there's a pub down there.
There certainly is. We have happy hour every day. You should come out and join us. It's a lot of fun. Everyone has, you know, a lot of fun. There's lots of activities. There's hundreds of activities a month that the recreation team puts together on our campus and off of our campus, and keeps everyone busy, and the residents really appreciate it.
And then right across the road, St. Barnabas, quite a few years back now, repurposed a former school, right?
Correct. That is the Washington Place, and it was an elementary school. It was Washington Elementary School, and in the center where the gymnasium was, now is the location for the Edward Keene Theater. And so we're able to, you know, use that as a rental space. We have groups that come in and rent that and do their own performances, you know, musical performances, dance recitals. You can rent that as a business to host a conference. So that's an opportunity there for additional, you know, fundraising.
Yeah, that was a tremendous conversion of that gymnasium into a wonderful theater, great acoustics, and a very intimate feel to it. And, of course, you have the residential facilities all around. What about the Crystal Conservatories? That's something, one of your newest things, isn't it?
That is. It's a beautiful facility. It's here on our Woodlands campus. It's in Valencia, and it is a beautiful glass enclosure. It surrounds an indoor heated swimming pool that's available to our residents and guests here at St. Barnabas. And it's also a lovely space, you know, to host special gatherings, small, intimate, maybe showers. It can be used for that as well. And our residents enjoy it all year round. I mean, it's a great, great benefit for them.
Can people, if they, you know, move to St. Barnabas, can they transfer from place to place within the complex depending on their needs as they grow older?
They certainly can. We are a continuum of care health system, so you can age here in place, and as your needs change, you know, we have services here that, you know, are available for those who live here, and it ranges from, you know, if you need rehabilitation therapy, you can, you know, do that over in one of our facilities there. And you can then maybe go back to your apartment if you need to. Or if your health is declining or your spouse's health is declining, you know, there are different services that are available in the health system, different levels of care, and, you know, we're here to take care of everybody.
And I understand you can now play golf for free if you live at St. Barnabas.
That is true. The beautiful Conley Resort, and we have the Suncrest Golf Courses. Our residents love that and take advantage of golfing here. So we're looking for some sunshine days and summertime for that.
It won't be long. It won't be
long.
Well, once again, let's recap. As you mentioned, you have a number of events to raise funds for the Free Care Fund, but the signature event is coming up in just a couple of weeks now, your Founders Day Gala celebration. Shelley, can you go over that for folks who weren't with us at the beginning of our conversation?
Yes. The 119th Annual St. Barnabas Founders Day celebration will be held on Thursday, April 25th, and that is located at the Marriott, the Pittsburgh Marriott North in Cranberry Township, and it's an evening affair. The doors open at 5:30. It starts off with a wonderful silent auction. We have a reception with hors d'oeuvres, and we have different raffles. People can win a trip to Las Vegas or cash, baskets of cheer, and this year's Hance awardee is Judge Janine Pirro. The tickets range. Anyone interested in purchasing tickets can call our office at 724-625-3770. Visit our website at stbarnabascharities.com. There will be a dinner program, and then Judge Pirro will receive the Hance Award given by our president at St. Barnabas, William V. Day, and then she'll deliver a speech.
And, of course, all of the funds raised from this event will help support the Free Care Fund, which provides compassionate care to those who cannot afford it at St. Barnabas. And we're talking all kinds of health care services, rehabilitation, skilled medical care, cognitive improvement, nutritional meals, wonderful care for those who can't afford it. Shelley, thanks for chatting with us again today. Shelley Somariva is director of St. Barnabas Charities, and what great work they do. It was good to talk to you again, Shelley.
Thank you so much, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty. Take care now.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
And you. Bye-bye. We'll take a break. When we come back, we had a chance to chat. Actually, we talked earlier this morning, about an hour and a half ago, with our guest from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Samantha Simon. You may remember that we talked with her earlier last year about the danger of invasive pests. Well, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is out with an update on the invasive pests, especially important to talk about as we move into the warm weather season. So we were able to chat. We were able to grab her for a couple of minutes, as I say, about an hour and a half ago, and we'll listen to that conversation with Samantha Simon in just a moment or so. And then still later on the program, we'll be talking about Sandler training with Dan Udock and also Stan Kosciuszko, the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. One of our sponsors on the program today is Butler Motor Tours, online at butlerbus.com. Boy, they have some great trips coming up as we head into the spring and the summer and even into the fall. They're once again going to see the Millennium Sight and Sound Theater out in Lancaster, PA, where the show this year is Jesus. You may have seen some blurbs for it on TV. Fabulous show. They've been doing these biblical theme shows for many, many years there. And they take nice two-day trips out and back through Butler Motor Tours. They're also going to the Noah's Ark exhibit in northern Kentucky again this year. They're taking a wonderful trip to Maine, New England excursion, it's called. Beautiful state, by the way. And where else are they going? Oh, a one-day trip to ride on the Titusville Railroad. That's a nice excursion. And if you don't like to fly, but you'd like to take a cruise to Bermuda, you can take a bus to the coast. One of the big, comfortable, luxury coaches from Butler Motor Tours. Take it right to the port and then cruise to Bermuda. Details on these and many other trips at their website, butlerbus.com. Butlerbus.com. Butler Motor Tours, South Monroe Street in Butler.
Many of you have traveled to Branson, Missouri for some great live entertainment. Well, Tanglewood, your hometown center for entertainment, is bringing Branson to you in the form of Debbie Horton's Branson on the Road, Saturday, April 13th. Americana, bluegrass, classic, country, and rockabilly are on tap for the evening. Doors open at 6, country buffet dinner by Chef George at 7, showtime at 8. As always, it's BYOB. Tickets are only $30 by calling 287-0021. From the heartland of America, direct to Tanglewood in Butler, it's Debbie Horton's Branson on the Road.
Going to be talking, listeners, once again on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking about invasive pests and Disease Awareness Month. Our guest joins us by telephone today, and we talked with her last year, as a matter of fact. Samantha, how you doing? Nice to talk with you again.
I am good. Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about invasive pests known as hungry pests.
Well, we got a good update from you last year. Anything new this year in terms of invasive pests? Samantha Simon?
Well, I think for the state of Pennsylvania, there's still a lot of talk about the spotted lanternfly, and USDA and the state of Pennsylvania have been working hard to control, contain, and suppress this hungry pest. And we've got some new tools that are available online for businesses and homeowners to also help keep the spread from occurring. So hungrypest.com, it has an online business action kit along with all of the action items you can do to keep them from spreading.
What is the spotted lantern fly anyway? What's it look like?
It's a beautiful little pest, actually, but it is a nasty little pest. It likes 70 types of plants and trees, in particular apples, grapes, hops, and hardwoods. So it does pose a significant threat to agriculture.
Samantha Simon, listeners, is the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Senior Invasive Species Coordinator. Several years ago, in fact, must be close to 15 years ago now, we had a terrible infestation of gypsy moth here in Pennsylvania. I understand the gypsy moths are still around, but not nearly as bad as it used to be, right?
Well, the European gypsy moth is still around. We do have a federal quarantine in place. It takes up all of the northeast of the United States. And Pennsylvania is fully included in that. So it's really important for people who are moving from Pennsylvania to areas outside of the quarantine to make sure that their move is gypsy moth free.
So when we're talking about gypsy moth or the spotted lanternfly, we're talking about damage to plants and trees, right? Not necessarily to humans.
Right. So these hungry pests in particular are a threat to our forests and to our agriculture, but there are some hungry pests that also are a threat to animal and human health and plant health.
There are some guidelines from the U.S. Department of Agriculture with regard to the My Move program. What's that all about, Samantha Simon?
So USDA is partnering with the U.S. Postal Service's My Move program, and we are providing a free checklist of items to inspect for those who are moving. It's the same checklist that you can also find on yourmovegypsymothfree.com. It's an online checklist. It helps homeowners go through the items to make sure that they are inspecting their outdoor items and removing any egg masses or bugs that they might find.
How do we define an invasive pest, by the way? Is there a definition for that by the U.S. Department of Agriculture?
There is. In short, invasive species are non-native organisms that cause or are likely to cause economic or environmental harm or harm to human, animal, or plant health.
Can you do anything else to keep invasive species from spreading other than being very careful if you happen to be moving?
Yes, so we do have some tips to help keep hungry pests from spreading. They include don't mail homegrown plants, fruits, or vegetables. Never move untreated firewood. when traveling internationally, declare fruit, plants, and souvenirs made from wood or other natural materials. And be cautious when buying plants for your garden. Don't plant invasives.
You know, talking about firewood, we had a ban. I think it might still be in effect here in Pennsylvania about firewood being transferred from county to county because of the, I think it was the emerald tree borer. Are you familiar with that insect? Do I have the right name for it there?
Yes, it's the emerald ash borer. Yes, you are correct. That little bug likes to lay its eggs on the bark of wood, and then the larvae go in underneath the wood, and they hang out there until they reemerge as adults. So if you move firewood from a quarantined area that has emerald ash borer, you run the risk of moving that beetle from that one place to another. And the emerald ash borer, it's responsible for the destruction of one-fifth of the ash trees in the United States.
Well, it's already done a tremendous job on the ash trees here in western Pennsylvania. Most of them are already dead and have been for a year or so. Really, it looks horrible when you see them along the roadside, you know?
Yes, it is a very big threat to our forests. We are working. USDA is focused on developing and deploying biological controls to lessen and control the infestations. There is promising news on that front. We have found four stingless wasps that like to attack the larvae and the eggs. So we're very hopeful that these wasps will start to help us control the populations of emerald ash borer and help save our ash trees.
And they only eat ash trees, right? Just ash.
The emerald ash borer,
yeah.
Actually, it can go on to more than just ash. So it likes other types of trees as well. There's 16 species of ash and white fringe tree.
Hmm. Well, the ash were important to Pennsylvania. They made baseball bats out of them. And we still have some trees, but, boy, a lot of them have been destroyed. Hey, one final question, Samantha. I know you're very busy today. Is there any place where listeners can go for more information or to report spottings of these hungry invasive pests?
Yes, please go to hungrypests.com. On that website, you can find information about what pests threaten your state. You can learn about the signs and symptoms and what you can do to prevent their spread. And you can also find the photographs and descriptions in case you're looking for what they might look for. And report pests to USDA. There's contact information on there as well.
Samantha Simon is the Senior Invasive Species Coordinator for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. She coordinates the development and the implementation of agency responses to invasive species. Thanks, Samantha. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Recreational marijuana may be legalized someday, but nearly everyone qualifies for a medical cannabis or marijuana card right now. Get your medical marijuana card by visiting cccregister.com or call 888-316-9085 today. Most people are living with day-to-day pain. Let marijuana ease the pain. Ask about getting your medical marijuana card. You do qualify. Call 888-316-9085 today. Compassionate Certification Centers can certify you fast and get you the help you need.
When you want a home-cooked meal at a reasonable price, go to Michael's Restaurant. Michael's will have a fish fry every Friday during Lent. And be sure to save room for a homemade dessert. Michael's Restaurant on 422 near the Butler Fairgrounds.
In 2019, Tri-Rivers celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
I'm Dr. Scott Rainey, an orthopedic back and neck surgeon at Tri-Rivers. Whether I'm in the office treating patients for conditions such as cervical or lumbar stenosis, or in the operating room performing innovative procedures like disc replacements, I'm proud to care for patients in the Butler community. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Only three games remain on the schedule for the Pittsburgh Penguins, two of them against the Detroit Red Wings, the first of a home-and-home Tuesday night in Detroit. We'll have it for you, beginning with a pregame show at 7 as the Penguins meet the Detroit Red Wings. Be sure to tune in as the Pens try to climb their way up the standings and possibly take over second place in the Metropolitan Division on the Penguins Radio Network.
Pittsburgh Penguins Hockey brought to you in part by Cash Dollar & Associates, Thrower Concrete, Monday Shoes, Camisa's Auto Body, Butler Agway, and Schneider's 1-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning.
back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Our next guests are visiting with us here in the studio. Stan Kosciuszko is the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. Stan, always good to see you.
Good to be back. And if I'd have been here yesterday, I'd have played an April Fool's joke on you.
Oh, you would have, huh?
Yeah, I was trying to think of one, but...
Didn't happen.
Yeah, it would have been redundant.
We'll talk about that in just a second here. We also want to welcome Sandler trainer Dan Udock. Dan, good to see you again. Nice to have you back with us.
Good to be back again.
Yeah. Yesterday was April Fool's Day. I was reading about that, trying to get the history of April Fool's Day, and it's nebulous. Nobody knows for sure, really. Some think it goes all the way back to Geoffrey Chaucer and the Canterbury Tales. But it's always been big in France. And I mentioned that to you because I know you studied in France for a while, Stan.
Le jour des fous.
I guess they try to, seems silly, but they try to put a picture of a fish on somebody's back. You know, like we used to do in junior high school where you
kick me.
You kick me and you try to put that on some kid's back and, you know, people come up and kick them or her. But anyway.
Well, it's always during Lent and people get bored, you know, the Catholics, whatever.
You know, I never thought about that. That might be the connection, the fish. You know, somebody said, why a fish? I said, I don't know.
Because you had fish during Lent and no meat.
Could be.
I woke up this morning and I was bummed. I'm like, I didn't play one April Fool's joke on anybody yesterday. That's so weird. So I've decided today's the day.
Well, speaking of no meat, the best one that I saw was pulled was by the McDonald's restaurants in Australia, who made a big announcement yesterday of a new burger. It was called the McPickle. The McPickle burger. It was no meat. It was just pickles. And they had a big color picture of it on Facebook and everything, you know. It had the two buns and the just, I don't know, must have been 75 pickles in there. No meat.
I think that's great when corporations do that. That, like Payless Shoes a few months ago, they set up a store on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, and they called it Priceless Shoes, and they had the Payless Shoes there. But instead of being $34.95, they were $340. Instead of being $69, they were $690. And people were in there buying these Payless Shoes and paying that kind of money for it.
Well, just in case you were wondering, folks, for the McDonald's restaurants in Australia, it was an April Fool's joke. There is no McPickle Burger. It was all in fun. Well, listen, we want to talk about Sandler training today. We have the opportunity to chat with Dan Udock. First of all, Sandler training. I'm sure there are listeners who don't know what it is, Dan. Sure. What's it all about?
So I own a Sandler training franchise just in Wexford, Pennsylvania. There's multiple franchises all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're a global company. And basically, we help salespeople learn how to sell without being salesy or pushy or any of that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We help owners and sales managers learn how to be better leaders and better managers of not only those salespeople, but anyone within the company. And our third track, so to speak, is we also help people in the world of customer service, inside sales, things along those routes. To the overall arching thing is, how do we improve people? How do we improve ourselves? And for those who are always looking to do that, we're a great way to make that happen.
I'm assuming that there was somebody named Sandler that started all of this. I don't know. There was.
His name was David Sandler. And in fact, I think his family came from the cookie business of all worlds.
Oh, really?
Way back when, he was trying to figure out how to make a living selling motivational records at the time. And he learned School of Hard Knocks, how not to sell and how to sell better. And I think it really inspired him to learn how to become a better salesperson and someone who's not a liar or pushy or, you know, all those negative connotations we have for salespeople. He didn't want to be like that. And so he really delved into the world of psychology to try to figure out, how in the world can someone sell better when there's no pressure? And he developed an entire system to do that. And then the franchise came as a result of that.
Now, you are offering workshops in cooperation with the Butler County Chamber of Commerce this year, and I think there are still two left. Am I right on that?
That's correct.
Yeah. Can you detail those and what they're about and when they're coming up?
Sure. Stan, do you want to talk about the inner details of that, and then I'll fill in the blanks?
Sure. The next one is Wednesday, May 1st, and it's on leadership and management. And that'll be held. They're being hosted by the Spring Hill Suites Marriott, which is downtown city center in Butler. And we've had for the last 9 years, our sponsor has been Next Year Bank also.
Mm-hmm.
So the leadership management workshop, I'll let Dan go into the details.
Yeah, so
he'll be conducting the workshop. Well, I need the workshop.
I think he'll we all teaching. Do. It's an interesting thing, Dave, when you look at how people become leaders. A lot of times, if you're the one starting the company, then you just become naturally the leader because you're the one that started it from the ground up. That doesn't mean you're good at it.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that you're the leader. The second way people become leaders is they're really good at whatever job they're doing. Management notices that and then all of a sudden promotes them into management or into leadership. In both cases, it doesn't mean that you're a great manager or you're a great leader. In fact, how do you become great? Well, a lot of people do it at the School of Hard Knocks. They're trying their best to motivate their people or to inspire their company or to create a vision for their company to go. And sometimes it works very, very well. Unfortunately, a lot of times what happens when I talk to leaders and managers is they feel like they're running an adult daycare. They're like, I have all these adults who are really good people. I like them. But for whatever reason, we're just not working together as a group, or we're not, where there are certain individuals that just aren't doing what I would like them to do. And the leaders and the executives and the management team is almost like throwing their hands up saying, I don't know what else to do. And so that's where Sandler can step in and say, hey, let's take some of the experience that we have across all different types of industries, all different types of sizes of companies, and let's come in and see what's going on and let's give you some help to be able to become a better leader, a better manager. And so when we look at the workshops that the Chamber of Commerce is putting together here, if you're anyone in a company and you have people reporting to you, these workshops, this one in particular, is golden because it's going to give you some insights on how to better motivate and manage and inspire and mentor your employees. And let's face it, when the employees do better, then we as managers can do a lot better too.
How to better inspire. Probably the worst thing to do is to wield power like an emperor, right? Make people, everybody afraid of you.
Well, you can definitely get some results that way, but they're short term because mm-hmm. people will burn and churn, as we say. So, yeah, there's definitely, you can wield the stick. You could also wield the carrot. Here, follow this and you'll get this. And again, both of those are short term fixes. The key is, how do you inspire someone in a way that they want to be inspired and in a way that's really important to them? And once they get that inner strength, so to speak, they can change everything. So it's figuring that out.
How long is this workshop, Stan said, coming up on May 1st? Well, that'll be here before we know it. Here we are on April 2nd already.
The breakfast and registration is at 8 in the morning, and then the seminar goes until 12 noon.
So it's half a day.
Yeah.
Half day. Yeah. And it's $40 a person is all we charge for that. Seating is limited. We only take 20 people per session. And if you want to register, call the Chamber of Commerce, 724-283-2222. But it's a nice way to get yourself and some of your staff trained
mm-hmm.
at a very low cost.
Yeah. I was going to ask about the size of the workshop, because if you get too many, it's hard to control sometimes.
Yeah, these are pretty personalized. And
20
Dan
is it's a good number.
Good number.
Yeah.
First one we had was very successful. It was on sales, and we had a lot of good feedback on that one. Now, the last one we're offering this year is going to be on October 2nd, Wednesday, and it's on customer service. It's a customer service workshop. But Dan's given it a different slant. He's going to train them on how to empower your people. So I'll let Dan talk a little bit about that one.
Yeah, expound a little bit on that, if you will, please.
Well, when we look at customer service, for the most part, it's problem solvers. That's typically why people are in customer service. They're very good at helping others or solving certain problems. But when we look at customer service within a company, it actually could be a return on investment type deal for a company. Your inside sales, your customer service people can keep your customers longer. They can actually increase the amount of business you're doing within an account. or they could even bring in new business. And so when you look at those three legs, so to speak, I'd challenge the listeners of the radio station, ask yourself, are my customer service people doing that? And when we look at customer service, they don't want to be in sales. If they wanted to be in sales, they would have become salespeople. Mm-hmm. So they don't envision themselves doing that. They're there to solve problems. So part of it is giving them the confidence, the strength, the courage to maybe stay in the game a little longer and ask a question. Or, you know, hey, have you ever tried this? Or what about this? Or who else do you think we could talk to? Those types of things. And really, the way you get someone to do that is making them feel very secure of who they are and what their goal is for the company and the fact that they're really trying to help the company grow. And it helps everybody. And again, how do we do that? What motivates someone in customer service to do that? So we're going to talk about that at this workshop. How do you get your customer service team, which for the most part does pretty good work, but how do you get them to excel? How do you get them to bring in new business, to keep those customers longer? How do we get them to do that? So there's going to be some great tips on how to do that. And Dave, look, you know, I think all of us realize that nobody's life changes in a three-hour seminar. Let's be honest here. It's not like you're coming into this seminar and you're going to be, okay, my whole life changes. But if you pick up one or two gold nuggets and you start to apply those to your world, boy, that makes the time well worth it.
Hmm. Customer service workshop. What's the old bromide, the old adage, the customer's always right. Does that still apply, Dan?
It's never really applied. So let's face it, we always want the customer to be right, but they're not always right. But the key is, how do you handle the customer that's not right, but still making them feel like they are? And there's some magic in how to do that, so to speak. It is all psychology, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where you have a real gem of a person who can be handling a complaint or a situation where the customer just was not right. But at the end of that, the customer is actually thankful for the way it was handled. And there's a lot to how to do that.
I used to say that was part of the legend of the Blarney Stone. You know, you could...
Yes.
talk somebody out of something and they ended up thanking you for it, you know.
True. I have a funny story on that topic. I started my career, as you know, at AT&T down in South Florida, and I was a customer service representative.
Mm-hmm.
So we handled the customer complaints. And after I was there for a few months, somebody would call and they would complain about this, they'd complain about their phone system. And it was the days where you could say, well, get another phone company. AT&T was the only game in town. Mm-hmm. I was much nicer than that on the phone. So I would say to them, well, you know, Mr. Malarkey, that phone system you have is 20 years old, so you're going to have some issues. You know, we'll maintain it, we'll repair it for you, but you just have to recognize that it's going to be down. And they would inevitably say, well, what do you think I should have? Like, you handle the complaints, what do you have that's the least complaints? And I would say, well, I'm not an account executive, but I will refer you, I'll have someone contact you. Oh, no, we don't want to talk to a salesperson. We want to talk to you. So subsequently, I was there 6 months. We were at a conference, a regional conference in Orlando. They hand out the salesperson of the year. It was me. Here I had made more sales than the account executives had just from selling the stuff over the phone.
Huh.
So I said, okay, I want the commission, first of all, on these. But the account executive team, the marketing team, was furious with little Stan Kosciuszko from Pennsylvania at having trumped all of them. So I ended up getting promoted into marketing. I ended up being the operations manager. But it was funny. That's a good segue into customer service is more than just helping them out with that problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's helping to solve their problem in a very respectful mm-hmm. manner. And we're all in customer service. I'm in customer service at the chamber. Somebody calls me, and it's a business that's inquiring about something that's going on in Butler. It's somebody inquiring about the reputability of a business, somebody that's looking for an ad, looking for a way to market. And if I treat that business properly, they're going to be a well-maintained chamber member, and they're going to support us. So my company is the chamber, and customer service is what Jennifer and I do. So,
is there a difference between... when you're talking about customer service, Dan, the difference between handling complaints in person, face-to-face, as compared to on the telephone?
A lot of difference, and most of it has to do with you can't see the person, so there's body language at play there.
No eye contact either.
None at all. But so the person who does customer service, or even sales for that matter, over the phone, has to be really good at being able to pick up on inflections in the voice or picking up on certain words or phrases that the other person is saying. They have to be, I guess you'd say, almost very intent at listening, which is not an easy skill to acquire, by the way, versus the person who's face-to-face. The person who's face-to-face can pick up on the nonverbal, the body language, all that kind of stuff, which changes everything. And so what I tell people when they're doing everything over the phone is you have to completely concentrate on this person. You know, don't be checking email. Don't be looking at the clock. Don't be reading something while they're talking. Be very intently listening to them and listen for every single word they say or phrase or tonality or the way something comes up. And if you're not sure on something, just ask or say, hey, you said this. What did you mean by that? That kind of stuff. So, yeah, definitely listen a whole lot better.
There's an art to it. I had a friend of mine that I went to school with. She ended up working as a customer service rep for a utility in Virginia, a water company, as a matter of fact. And she said, you wouldn't believe, you know, 95% of the calls I get, these people are mad from the get-go. And you have to realize that and try to, you know, your first job is to kind of defuse the situation. You know, I'm mad about a water bill or something, what they perceive as a mistake or something like that. So there's real art to it.
Yeah, there's a phrase that I heard a long time ago, and you can put the title of the person in front of this phrase, leader, manager, salesperson, customer service. But in essence, it goes like this. Being a leader is nothing more than being in a Broadway play performed by a psychologist. Being in sales is nothing more than being in a Broadway play performed by a psychologist. So again, you can put the title in there you want. But there's two parts to that. First is it's a Broadway play. You're acting a part. So if I'm a customer service and somebody calls in and they're irate, they're not irate with me, Dan Hudock. They don't know me. Look, I'm the guy that goes home tonight to play board games with my kids, or this weekend I'm having a barbecue, right? So they're not mad at me, the person. They're mad at my company, or they're mad at the role that I'm playing, and I just happen to be the person that answers the phone. So first thing we have to realize is don't take things so personal. They're not mad at you. The second thing, though, is the psychologist part of all of this is how do I diffuse the situation? How do I get them from being so angry to now they're starting to share information and they're grateful for it and they start to become thankful and they start to, that anger starts to come down a bit. And when I've done that, that's where I really do the job. So if you want to get great at leadership or management or customer service, learn everything you can about human psychology. Why do people act the way they act? And then that teaches you how to diffuse that as well.
Want to take a break? We'll come back and talk more with Dan and with Stan here on It's Your Turn on WISR. Quick program note, tomorrow one of our guests will be the organic gardener. Yeah, the organic gardener. He'll be with us tomorrow. We'll be right back.
If you're struggling to find a gym that's right for you, try the fitness center at Applewood Chiropractic. You don't have to be a chiropractic patient, and it's the only executive-level fitness center in Butler. Open 7 days a week, the fitness center provides a clean, safe, unintimidating environment with modern equipment, fitness classes, and a full-time staff to assist you. Call 724-283-8894 or visit applewoodchiro.com. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive, Butler.
For more than 130 years, the name Concordia has meant quality care. Today, Concordia Visiting Nurses has provided high-quality, skilled nursing and a variety of therapy services to people in and around our community. Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to foster your recovery right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
There were lots of famous duels in history, but ours involves pianos, not pistols. Connecting to Tomorrow presents Piano Maniacs, dueling piano show on Saturday, April 13th at the Lindora Legion. Tickets are $20 each and can be purchased at the door, Butler Radio Network, or online at Eventbrite. Doors open at 6 and the fun starts at 7. It's BYOB, must be 21 or older, and food will be available. Proceeds benefit C2T's teen mentoring program. So come join the fun on Saturday, April 13th for our Dueling Pianos event.
We're talking with Stan Kosciuszko, the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, with us here today, along with Dan Udock, who is recognized as one of the top Sandler trainers and speakers in the whole country. How long have you been doing this, Dan?
Oh, it seems like forever. I think since 1999.
Wow.
It's been a long time. I always wanted to be a teacher when I was growing up, but never quite did that, and this is about as close as I could get to that.
Well, I think people that hear you talking here, even the brief time that we've chatted, obviously are a good communicator. Did you have to undergo special training to become so proficient at being a Sandler trainer?
A lot of research, a lot of practice. Although I will admit, speaking on the radio is not my comfort level. This is very unusual for me to do this. But yeah, I just learned a lot. I've read a lot of books. I did a lot of research on the internet. I've practiced a ton. So it's my trade. It's get really good at it.
Mm-hmm. You do workshops all year long?
I do. So Sandler Training, my location in Wexford, again, we have classes all year long, a couple times a week. I also go to other companies and we'll do training at their locations as well. It depends on what's needed and what that all should look like. So, mm-hmm. Yep, a lot of talks.
Are there still openings available for Dan's upcoming workshop on leadership management?
There are still openings available,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's just in May 1st. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's still some openings for the October event.
There are some. Now, a lot of people signed up for all three sessions.
Oh, okay.
So we did have some people do that. Now, Dan also does, if you remember, he does the training for my leadership Butler County.
Mm-hmm.
He does their opening session training, and then he does a training on presentation skills. And he recently has been contracted to do some training for the youth leadership program. He just did their session about a month ago. And they really loved it. He did it on personalities, and these high school juniors just loved it. Actually, the first year we had Dan, we only had him for half an hour, and the evaluation said we want more Dan and less Stan. So we expanded Dan to an hour and 15 minutes, and I just went there and had breakfast. So anyway,
I was telling Stan as we were waiting to come on the show here that they had a dog. The person who trains the dog for drug stuff, was there right before me. I said it's hard to follow a dog.
That's true, or a child.
That's true as well.
Yeah.
But he did a good job.
Were you a natural public speaker when you were in high school? Or?
No. No, it scared the daylights out of me. I still remember my very first public talk, though, was in seventh grade at the Yellow Brick Building down here in Butler,
mm-hmm.
for a marketing class. I still remember my opening line on that. But no, I was not a public speaker. In fact, I remember the very first class I taught in Sandler was a bomb. It just was horrible. And I vowed I'm never letting that happen again. So I spent a lot of work on how to do better at that.
I've had several young adults here over the past, especially the past month. A lot of high schools are doing their spring musicals, mm-hmm. And to a person, they all say what a great experience it is getting over the fear of getting up on a stage and performing and speaking and in their case, singing and dancing in front of a whole auditorium full of people.
Yeah.
Once you get over the fear of doing that, it's a great life skill.
You know, it's funny, Dave, is I find speaking in front of a large group of people a lot easier than speaking in front of a small group.
Hmm.
So anybody under, a number of 10 or less people, it's a very intimidating talk because it's very intimate. People are right there. There's just a couple. You're talking in front of 400 or 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 people. You can't pick out each individual person. It's a lot easier. But there's no doubt that being a good actor or actress really helps you in the world of public speaking.
Do you have to be a member of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce to attend one of these workshops?
No. Anybody can call and attend. Yeah.
Okay.
Open to the public.
want to talk about a couple of other things while we have Stan Kosciuszko with us. The Chamber's Employee Appreciation Luncheon is coming up in the not-too-distant future.
Coming up on April 17th, and it's at the Atrium. It's a spring dinner kind of theme. Lots of prizes. It's only $25 a person. We encourage businesses to take their staff and come and join us. We will also be presenting the Employee of the Year, the Butler County Employee of the Year, and that award is sponsored by Butler Health System and Moses Jewelers. My luncheon is sponsored by the Atrium. Madure's Catering provides all of the food and desserts for us. The Butler Eagle, Butler County Tourism, those are our sponsors. So come out and have a good time with us. It's on our website, butlercountychamber.com. They can download a registration form for that. But it's always a really nice event. And then this Friday is the first Friday Morning Coffee Club. It's cranked back up again.
Excellent.
And that's being sponsored by the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott, same location that we're doing the Sandler training. We used to have a Friday Morning Coffee Club every Friday morning, and it got to be not as well attended as we would like. So we changed it to the last Friday of the month coffee club, and it traveled from business to business. The group that was very active in that said they wanted it every Friday morning again. So April 5th will be the first one. So the first three Fridays of the month will be at the Spring Hill Suites. The last Friday of the month, we're going to be touring different places of business. So in April, we'll be at Family Pathways. In May, we'll be at the Career Link. In June, we'll be at Strawberry Ridge Golf Course. But that's just the last Friday. It starts at 8 o'clock.
What happens?
You get a free continental breakfast, chance to network, and it's really speed networking with other businesses. They'll discuss issues. They make referrals to each other. And it's a very nice thing that we do to try to promote our membership and the interconnectivity of the different members.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to that one. And then I'm sure you guys will be helping us with our candidates debate that we're doing.
Yes.
And that's coming up on May 2nd, and I won't be here before then, so I'd like to put in a little plug for that. It's been on your website, and I really appreciate you guys advertising that. I had a couple calls.
Excellent.
About that. The Chamber, you know, is very legislatively active, but we pride ourselves on being an information dissemination organization. We do not support one candidate over another. But we feel as though everybody should examine what their candidates stand for. So this year, for the first time, we're going to meet the candidates for Common Pleas Judge. We've not done one before. But my board and my Legislative Action Committee thought it was very important that people know who they're voting for judge. Because you could be standing in front of this person down the road. It's very important. There are a lot of candidates this year. So we'll be having a meet the candidate. The other unique situation that we're in here in Butler County is that Brian Ellis's seat is vacant and Senator Don White's seat are vacant. So we have two extremely important state seats that have been vacant for quite a while. So Butler County has not been represented when any votes have been taken from those two seats.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing a formal debate, Legal Women Voters Guidelines, on those two seats. So we'll have the two candidates for state representative and the two candidates for state senator. And we'll be doing those the same night. It's at the Suckup Theater on the campus of BC3.
It's May 2nd.
Starting at 5:30. I don't know the exact scheduling of it, who's going to go on first, whatever, but people can call the chamber earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But our sponsors are Armstrong and the Butler Eagle. And you guys have always partnered with us on that. And I really do appreciate you having it on your website. When you go into Inside Butler County, it is all on there. So for those of you who are listening out there, take an interest in who's running for office because it's very important. It affects your life. And the two state positions are extremely important to Butler County. And the candidates for Common Pleas Judge are also extremely important because they're in there for a long time.
Yeah, we have a vacancy there with the elevation of former Judge Marilyn Horan.
Yeah.
She's now on the federal court. So.
And I miss seeing Marilyn. We were good friends. So I miss seeing Marilyn. Yeah. So we need to get somebody in there who is going to put that same passion into that position.
Election Day is May 21st, by the way, Tuesday, correct. May 21st.
So we'll have a lot of time to bang this out. Armstrong is going to be taping it, and then they'll be having it on the public access station. It'll be on the chamber's website, and people will be able to look and view what these candidates stand for, and then make a very honest, intelligent decision as to who they want representing them. So thank you for giving me the time to talk about that.
Well, thanks to the chamber for spearheading this once again. Very, very important. And, guys, thanks to Dan Udock. I learned quite a bit about Sandler training here today, Dan.
Thanks for the opportunity, Dave.
Thanks for visiting with us.
Well, now, don't forget, Dan does customized trainings. If you have some needs in your place of business, you can call the chamber. You can contact Dan directly. We'll refer you to him. But a lot of my chamber members have used him in-house to do different kinds of particular training that they thought they needed for them and their employees. So
good point.
Yeah,
you can get in touch with him through you, through the chamber. Is that
sure?
Yeah, or reach out. Email address is dan@sandler.com.
Okay, that's easy enough. dan@sandler.com. S-A-N-D-L-E-R.
Correct.
Well, nice to see you again, Dan. Good
likewise
to see you. Stan, good to see you as well.
Thank you very much.
And don't forget,
happy April.
Yes. Don't forget, Doug Oster, the organic gardener, will be with us tomorrow. He's going to be making a personal appearance this weekend at the Butler County Home Show. He'll be with us here in the studio tomorrow. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Penguin hockey tonight here on WISR. 7 o'clock warm-up from the Motor City as the Pens take on the Detroit Red Wings tonight. Live play-by-play here on WISR.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting